We are in Bible study, and when we come to listen to the Word of God, we carry on step by step. The Bible says that we must take precept upon precept, line upon line, and by this it means that we can hear the Word of God. We can understand it. There's a repetition that God allows us to hear and to listen again. And at times some of these messages might feel like you already know them. But you see, Peter was very keen. He says that I want to tell you of these things, even though you're already firmly established in them, that as long as I'm in the body, I wish to keep reminding you these things so that you do not forget. There's a thing about forgetfulness in the mind of man that unless God helps us to remember, unless God helps us to bring the word again and again, it is possible to forget. And so today we are in the book of 1 Thessalonians and we are in chapter 4. And remember, this is a church that Paul has been writing to, and this is a church that he did not have so much time with them. But because of the persecution, but he is excited that their faith is growing. And so he didn't have many concerns with this church, but there was one possible error, doctrinal error that had been creeping in into the church that he wanted to address. What was this error? The error that was there is that there were people among them who are preaching that Jesus Christ has already returned. So, in their thoughts, they were explaining or they are teaching people that you see what? The day of the Lord has already come. So now, if the day of the Lord has come, that Jesus came, he has already raptured the church, then that means they are left behind. And because they are left behind, they are doomed for destruction. And you see, when you go through the study of the end times, you will see that there are those who have different beliefs. But what the scriptures show us is that there is actually going to be a time when there will be a rapture, where one will be taken away and another left, where the God will come, Jesus will come, and he will catch us up like the way an eagle sweeps through and takes, the church, and we will be with him. Now, when that happens, then those that are left on the earth are now going to go through a period of great tribulation. Now, that speaks of a time that there will be so much trouble that you would wish, you would long for death, but death will not come. You're going to be looking for death, but death will be running away from you. When the stars fall, when fire comes, when the water, when that great star falls on the water and all the rivers, all the waters of the earth turn red. When there will be all these creatures that will come from the underworld, the locusts that have, iron teeth, and have the stings of scorpions. When all these troubles shall come upon the earth, upon the end times, the great tribulation, when the Antichrist shall be in full force and shall demand his worship, when no one will be allowed to buy or purchase anything without the mark of the beast. A time is coming when things are going to be so hard that even death will run away. Now, this is speaking of the time when the church has been taken away, because one of the things that the Word of God says is that He's going to save us from the hour of trial that will come upon the earth. Now, those that shall miss the rapture, then they will only be saved by their own blood. That means that it will have to be a choice. Do you accept the mark of the beast or do you refuse it? Those that at least will refuse it and will lose their lives, then they will be saved by their own blood. But you see, those that have accepted Christ, those that have believed in his coming, in his second coming, those that are patient, those that are watching, those that are found, in that place of waiting for the coming of our Lord, because he has said he will come. No one knows the day or the hour except my Father who is in heaven. So it's one very important thing to know that Jesus is going to come at an hour when no one will expect. And he's coming back for the church. Yes, I know there are several arguments, oh, will there be a rapture? Will it happen at the beginning of the tribulation period, at the middle of the tribulation period, or at the end? All those I don't want to get into them, and you can study if you want. But the most important thing that we all agree is that Jesus is coming back. He is coming back. And that is why you find there are all these concerns about, oh, you know, Jesus is coming back on this day. Someone is making a prediction. And when it doesn't happen, they change their time, you know, and all that. And so you can see that these heresies or these difficulties in understanding are not new. We are having it in our times today. It was also happening in the days of Paul. And so he has to write to the church in Thessalonica, that look here, the day of the Lord is not yet come. And since the day of the Lord has not yet come, then you cannot just live careless lives. But there are going to be certain signs that will happen that will tell everyone that the day of the Lord has come. And this is what we're going to read. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and from verse 13. The Bible says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as though others who have no hope." So there's one thing that he starts to say, that look here, as believers, when one of us dies, I don't want you to sorrow as unbelievers who do not have hope. That means, you know, he says that the believers fall asleep. That means there is an understanding that when you are in the faith, you don't just die, but you fall asleep. That means that a time will come when we will put aside this body. But you see, when we put it aside, it does not mean that we are gone forever. And that is why we are called not to mourn as if those in the world, those who don't have hope. And that's why he's saying, I do not want you to be ignorant. So when you find that this has happened, yes, there is a pain of losing a loved one. But you see, there is also the joy that this loved one that we have lost has not died, has just fallen asleep, and we are going to meet them in the day of the resurrection. So verse 14, what does it say? "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." So it's very foundational. It's a foundational core belief of the Christian faith that we believe that Jesus died. I know there are those who don't believe that Jesus died. They don't believe that he was the one who was crucified, that it was just an image of his image was crucified, or someone took his place. Now, that is their own choice. But you see, we believe that Jesus died. And because he died, the Bible says, and he rose again, the core foundation is that Jesus is not in the grave. And he arose the third day. He arose again, and he was seen by his disciples. He was touched by them. He ate with them, and he also appeared before 120 people at the same time, and he was elevated. He ascended into heaven before their very eyes. Can you picture this? They are seeing the Lord Jesus. Some are doubting. Some are worshiping him, and then he just starts to lift up from the ground. And as he lifts up, then he says, "Lo, I am with you to the very end of the age." And they watch him, and they watch him, and he goes up, and he disappears in the cloud. And then two angels appear, and they ask the men of Galilee, "Why do you stand here watching the skies?" And he says, "This Jesus, the same way that you saw him go up, is the same way that he shall come down." Now, look at what the scripture is telling us. Verse 15, "For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive," so he's now describing how the events shall happen, "that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep." That means that when the Lord comes back, there's going to be an order to it. That means that those who are dead, those who have fallen asleep, are the ones who are going to rise first. So we who are alive on the earth at that time, when Jesus will come back, then we are not going to go before those who have fallen asleep. And then verse 16 says, "For the Lord himself," Jesus Christ himself, "will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. He's saying that the events that are going to happen, that the Lord himself will descend. And every eye shall see him. The Bible says when every eye shall see him, the nations of the earth are going to mourn. They are going to cry and say, oh no, he came, he is coming. Why were we not ready? And I don't want you to cry. And that is why I come just to let you know that he is coming back. And the Bible says that what is going to happen, that there is going to be a shout. What is that shout? A victory shout. A shout by the archangels. Remember, archangels are mighty. There is the archangel Michael. He's a man of war. He is an angel of war. He carries the strength. And he's going to shout. And there's going to be a trumpet blast. Now, when that trumpet sounds, every ear shall hear. When it will happen, the Lord knows. Every ear shall hear. And there is going to be a shout by an archangel. Remember, think about the angel that God speaks, that there is an angel that one leg is in the sea and one leg is in the land. You can imagine how large that angel is. And that archangel shouts. A trumpet is sounded. And then the Bible says that the dead in Christ will rise first. That means that every dead person that died in Christ, they will rise. Their bodies will appear. They will come and they're going to be transfigured into the resurrection body. You know, this resurrection body has no pain. This resurrection body has no sickness. This resurrection body has no disappointment as we think of it. There is no lame person in heaven. God is going to make each and every one of us new, we who have believed in his name. The Bible says that then we who are alive, so the dead in Christ shall be raised first. And we who are alive and remain, that means that as the dead are rising, that means you'll be seeing, you know, the spiritual resurrected bodies of people starting to go up in the sky. One. They're going. And then you that are alive, the Bible says, you shall be caught up together with him. And this is where we speak of the word rapture, to be caught up. And the Greek word there is harpazo, which is like the way an eagle comes to just swoop. You can think how an eagle, an eagle that is flying and is about to catch its prey. What it does while the prey, while that rabbit or while that small animal is just moving, he just realizes he's scooped up. This is the word that is saying that rapture, that will be caught up together with them in the clouds. That means as the dead in Christ are rising, we who are alive are also caught up, and we are all together, and we shall meet the Lord in the air. Now, what all Christians agree is that he is coming. So the rapture, he is coming and is going to catch us up. Now, of course, there are disagreements. There are those who believe that he will catch us up and then we will come down with him and go to the New Jerusalem and start their 1,000 years, the millennium reign. And then there are those who believe that we'll be caught up and be with the Lord in the air and stay with him and then await the end of the tribulation, the great tribulation period. That means we will await 3.5 years. After that time, then now he will come now for that final judgment. So they believe there is that coming, the rapture, and then there is a second coming, which is the final day of judgment. Now, all this should not confuse you. What we are sure of is that he is coming. The scriptures have told us he's going to pick us up. We are going to meet him in the air. This is the rapture. And the Bible says, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. our Lord is coming, and he's going to come as a thief in the night. Let us read where that says that. Chapter 5, verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. That means the day of the Lord, the day when Christ comes, he will come as a thief in the night. If you have ever been stolen for, you will always wish that you were ready. I remember there was a time when thieves came to our house, and they actually came on a Sunday. They came when we went to church. And that morning, you know, our neighbor was constructing, and there was a hole in our fence. And as I was brushing my teeth outside, I believe it was the voice of the Holy Spirit that mentioned to me that, you know what, one day thieves can enter through this hole in the fence. I thought about it, but I didn't act on it. And lo and behold, we came back home, and then the moment we just opened the door, I just asked, I think it was my wife who opened and asked, Emmanuel, did you come back inside this house? I'm like, no. And we find the house scattered and everything, and then we go to the inside room and we find that the window was cut. And the guy ransacked everything. He picked a few things. He picked our laptops, the office laptop, personal laptop. He picked a few things, iPad, various things were taken. Now, that was a thief in the night. And you see, at that point, it's too late to do anything about it. It has happened. You, of course, record a statement and all that, but it is too late. Now, when the Lord comes, he comes as a thief in the night, and no one knows. But all we are called to do is that we need to be ready for the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why he's saying, brethren, concerning the times and the seasons. In fact, even Jesus himself said, no one knows the day or the hour that the Father has set by his own authority. It is by the authority of the Father that he has set which day, which time, which season. It is God that has set it, and we don't know, but we need to be ready. That's why he says, verse 2, for you yourselves know perfectly. That means he had taught them already that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. Look at it. It will come as labor pains. That means before you know it, like, you know, the way a pregnant woman, just the labor pains come. You know, the water breaks, or at times even the water does not break. The pain comes, a sharp contraction, and she knows the time has come. At least there is warning between the time of the labor pain beginning and when the baby comes. But you see, at that point, she has no idea when it will happen. But he says, for you know that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. When that day happens, oh my, you cannot run away from it. The day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night, when people are relaxing. You can think about it. Yeah? When everyone is saying, no, things are good, nothing is changing, the economy is booming. You know, things are booming, we are moving, we are going into elections, we are having weddings, we are planning weddings here and there. You know, we are making businesses, we are making investments here and there. In those times when there is peace and safety, just think about it, like it was in the days of Noah. Everyone was marrying and giving in marriage, and then poop, God tells Noah, enter the ark. The animals enter, and the Lord shuts him in, and then the rain and the waters come. Just as it was the day of Sodom and Gomorrah, it was another day they were just doing evil. And then the angels, the two angels come, and they rescue Lot and his family, and they tell him to go. And before once he already reached that place, fire and brimstone falls upon them, the judgment of the Lord. God is saying he is coming back at a time when you do not expect it. Even Jesus himself, Matthew chapter 24, speaks about it. He says that two people will be walking. Two in the garden, one will be taken, one will be left behind. Two people shall be lying on the same bed. One will be taken, the other will be left behind. Let this day not catch you unawares. Let it not catch you as a thief in the night. Because if the owner of the house had known what time the thief will come, he would have prepared. How are you ready for the day of the Lord? Do you live as if today can be your last? Yes, even if it does not come in your lifetime. Do you know when you shall live? Do you know when you shall die? No one knows the time they shall live, the time they shall die, but we are called to be waiting. We are called to be ready. We are called to be alert. And that's why he's saying, verse 4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk, are drunk at night. But let us that are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are doing. You see, there are two kinds of people. There are those people of the day and those of the night. If you live as people of the day, you're going to be aware when Jesus is coming, because the signs are evident. The signs that he told us are coming. Every day we see of wars, wars and rumors of war. The signs are clear. There is increase of knowledge. There is brother rising against brother. There is persecution of believers. People are killing the Christians, and they say that they are doing a work of the Lord. Jesus spoke about all this is coming. And he said also that the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the ends of the earth. Then the end shall come. And that is why we are going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. That is why God is continuing to raise up ministers who are bold enough to speak the word of God. Everywhere, in every nation, wherever they are, God is raising them up, whether they're in business, whether they're in the NGOs, whether they're in market, whether they're in IT, that God is giving them a boldness to speak the word. Why? Because the gospel of the kingdom must be preached to the ends of the world as a witness. Then the end shall come. This does not mean that everyone is going to believe. No, it is preached as a witness. That means they will hear. If they agree, they will be saved. If they don't agree, it is judgment against them. Our prayer, God's prayer, is that every man be saved. God does not desire the death of a wicked man. God is not like Jonah. Jonah wanted the Ninevites to be punished. He wanted them to suffer. In fact, he knew that if he preached to them, God will forgive them. That is why he was not happy to go there. He knew the mercy of God. And he wanted those guys to be punished because those guys were wicked. But who is God? God is the merciful Father. That even that most wicked person, God wants him to be saved. And God wants you and I to live as people of the day. He's saying, be alert and be sober. This is not the time to be drunk. This is not the time to be living in immorality, to be living in secret sins. God wants you to be alive, because who knows, you will sleep and you will not wake up. Or you will sleep and you will be taken and the other left behind. Or, you know, the way a thief will come. You didn't expect it, but it happened. The question is, are you ready? Are our hearts ready? I pray today that you be ready. And that is why let us take a moment to pray that God will cleanse us and make us ready. If you want to receive Jesus, this is how you pray. Say, Lord Jesus, I have heard your word, that you died for my sins, that to forgive me, that you are alive today, that because you are alive, if I believe in you, I shall also be alive. And Father, I pray that, Lord, you cleanse our hearts from all unrighteousness. Make us ready. Give us your Holy Spirit to live in us, to show us the way, to that we live holy and precious lives before you. We pray against the works of the evil one, against the hand of the enemy, against our lives. We cancel it in the name of Jesus. And today you make us your children. You make us your own. I pray, Father, that even those that have believed in your word, that you stand with them, you help them. And I pray for alertness, that we shall not live as children of darkness, but we shall live as children of the light. We shall not be as drunk as those who live in the darkness, but we shall live as those in the light. I pray for alertness. I pray for wisdom. I pray for direction. I pray for grace over your children. Watch over us, strengthen us, protect us, and be a shield of our lives. We honor you, we trust in you, and we depend upon you. We look unto your name. You're worthy to be praised and adored. May your name be exalted and be magnified. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've said this prayer, you're born again. If maybe you had fallen away from the faith, you can be alert and sober. Get back to the Lord. Find a Bible-believing church. Connect with it. Pray. Read the Word of God. Be a part of a church. And you will see the Lord doing great and mighty things in your life. Pray that God will watch over you, strengthen you until we meet again. May the Lord be with you. Shalom.